Final hour, Robbie in Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, who has spent seemingly the last month in Paris, covering anything you could possibly think of over there in the Olympics. Gentry, welcome back. Have you gotten reaccustomed to the central time zone? How are we doing?
Yeah, it's been a work in progress here in the last week. It's been getting better each day, but it's about 3 weeks over there. You know, it's tough work, but someone had to do it.
Tough work. Did you have any
breakdancing
desserts of it?
Yeah. Did you cover breakdancing?
No. You know what? I've been asked that probably more than any question. Clark Lee asked me that question.
Really?
Like, did you cover the breaking and? You know, I remember we had the team we had, and two or three people did cover that. That was, I remember thinking at the time, I was like, gosh, is there that much interest? There's absolutely that much interest for a sport that I don't think you're going to see again in the Olympics.
I would have loved to have seen your breakdown of that.
That freaking Australian breakdancer ruined it for everyone.
They did. Oh, man. So, Gentry, on the Titans front, obviously, still a couple of weeks here before week one against Chicago. It's been a work in progress for the offense, specifically Levis and Ridley, to develop that connection. But based on the joint practices last week, based on what we've seen and heard from Brian Callahan about all that and that process, where do you think this offense is right now, and kind of how do you view the progress they've made in camp to this point as we approach week one against Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I do think in terms of you're installing a brand new offense, so things aren't going to be seamless at this point. And you do see the execution issues that I think most teams would have at this point. But I like what they're doing offensively. I think they've certainly upgraded it at the skill positions in terms of being able to be a lot more versatile in what they're doing. And you see that certainly in what they're trying to do. I think you're going to see an offense that throws the ball a lot more short passing to kind of to get it going that way. And I think, you know, it's, in terms of running backs, receivers, that they have the players that should be able to do that. I mean, there's always the question about Levis coming into his sophomore season here. And, you know, is he going to be able to build off what he did last year? And I do think that's probably going to be the storyline of this offense for sure as the season develops. But, you know, the first thing that stood out to me, and like say I missed the first few weeks, but to get back out there with them, they just look a lot faster as a team to me. And that's on both sides of the ball. And it's not, you know, always necessarily a good thing in certain areas, especially on defense in the front seven necessarily. But I think offensively it will help them. They have a lot more speed on the perimeter.
What are your impressions of the rookie? Well, actually, how about both rookies, Latham and Sweat? I mean, to me, I mean, first of all, huge additions in terms of just overall, you know, poundage to the football team, but also I think both guys are going to be key this year. What do you think as you watch those guys play?
Yeah, I mean, Latham, ever since he got here, has shown zero signs that he doesn't belong in this league. I mean, he looks the part, he sounds the part, he acts the part. I mean, he's a guy that I think you can put in that spot and he'll be a reliable good player for a very long time. I think he's what they hoped and what they thought. And you know, there will certainly be growing pains for any rookie left tackle in this league. We're going to see that, but to think that, you know, that they've certainly gotten a lot better at that spot. I think that was a good pick. Yeah, Sweat, you don't know it so much just because, you know, there's always that question: how can he stay out there? How long can he stay out there? Is he going to be able to make the impact they're going to need him to make? Quite frankly, because there's an area of this team I'm concerned about from what I've seen so far. It's certainly on the defensive side of the ball. They don't look as stout up front in terms of stopping the run. I think there are real questions in the middle of the defense, inside linebacker. And, you know, this is a defense that has done a good job against the run for a lot of the last few years. If you take that away, you got some questions at pass rush. And you got a secondary where the corners aren't even practicing. you know, other than that, it's okay.
So how do you view the decisions coming up for Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan, just in terms of wide receiver? Like, how many receivers are you going to keep? It feels like Kyle Phillips, who's got a hamstring injury he's dealing with now, Kyrus Jackson, like all these guys, Jaquan Jackson, play the same position. Like, they're right, they're in the slot. Mm-hmm. So how do you view how that complicates things? And I guess, you know, on the tight end front, are they keeping three? Are they keeping four? What about just the roster decisions coming up for Rand Carthon and for Brian Callahan?
Yeah, receiver, I guess the number six sounds about right in terms of active roster. I think Callahan may have dropped that number at some point. Seems like I've heard that. So I think that's kind of what you're looking at. And it's a spot where you know five pretty at this point pretty well, who that's going to be. So you're really talking about all those slot receiver types kind of competing for that last spot. And it really hurts Kyle Phillips that he got banged up. The days that I was out there last week, he was looking pretty good for a couple of days. He was also starting to get some more reps. Tyler Boyd was out, and Phillips seemed to be that kind of next guy in there for at least what I was watching. And, then he gets hurt, leaves the field. And, you know, he's got a hamstring, going to miss a couple preseason games probably. That's going to be pretty costly for him, I think, in this, because I think it's pretty close competition. When you see this sort of thing, I think the real hint here is to look at who's returning kicks. And that if Kyle Phillips, if this is it for him with the Titans, we're going to look back at the fact that he was supposed to be the big punt returner. He had a great return in his very first game, and then he just stopped being able to catch punts. And the previous regime just couldn't feel comfortable putting him back there. And now you look, and you got the rookie Jackson, and you got Kyrus Jackson. Both have been returning kicks this preseason. So that tells me they're more in the plans than Kyle Phillips is.
Yeah, of course, they were comfortable putting it back there when they should have had no returner back there. Not to take shots at Aukerman after he's gone, you know, but that was a bad Aukerman moment, yes. Yeah, did you notice Gentry PK yelling? He's going to yell Aukerman every time they make a special teams mistake now for the rest of time. So I don't know if you enjoyed that in the press box the other night, but PK, more positive contributions to the to the discussion. Sticking at receiver. Treylon Burks, speaking of hints, you know, and I know Callahan explained it, you know, different position, all that stuff, and NWI. But I put a little stock in Burks not playing, and with the idea that, like, he is important. And they look at him as a guy who, well, obviously if Hopkins is hurt, but even if he's not hurt, like a guy who is going to have some kind of a role. Am I overanalyzing that?
No, I agree with that. You know, look, Treylon Burks has not been a dude for this team, but he still could be. We see it on the practice field. I mean, just last week with the joint practice with Seattle, you know, to me, at least on Thursday, the best player on the field was the DB for the Seahawks, Witherspoon, who was all over the place. And the one player on the Titans that was able to have some success against him in coverage was Treylon Burks. And he got asked about that afterwards and said, well, you know, I'm just as good as he is. And there's a lot of value in that league when you have a player who can say something like that and truly believe it. Because if he believes it, the other team is going to believe it too. And in terms of matchups, Treylon Burks is still somebody that the other teams are going to have to worry about because of everything he's able to do on the field. He's just got to go do it. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be the player they're expecting him to be. But I think the idea that he wouldn't have a future in an offense that's going to throw it as much as they're going to try to throw it this year, it just never made much sense. You want a player like that.
So, Gentry, are they keeping three quarterbacks? Is Malik going to get cut? How do you view how that race is going right now for the Titans?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the bigger surprises to me, Robbie, that's, you know, leaving and then coming back. You know, you're kind of just picking up the book after the first few chapters. That's probably the biggest surprise to me that I've been asked a lot about that here, because I would not have expected that. I think going into this preseason, I think it was pretty obvious Rudolph was going to be – didn't come here to be anything but the number two. And I don't think many people really gave that, you know, the talk of a competition there really, you know, very much credence. But I think Willis has played pretty well. I mean, from what I saw last week, the fact that I think he probably got the better of him in a couple of practices, at least that I've seen. But again, it's maybe you do keep three, but it's just so hard to not see Rudolph being the number two. I think that was the plan all along. And I think from everything we've seen of, Brian Kelly, and there will be some curveballs when it comes to the 53. There always are. But a lot of what I've noticed in the pecking order and just kind of what they're talking about, they've kind of stuck with the plan in most cases. There really hasn't been a lot of dramatic movement. And I think the kicker is a good example the other night. In the emotion of the moment, it would have been real easy to say, yeah, this kid's really pushing Nick Folk. And he didn't say that. He said, it's Nick Folk's job. And I think there's a lot of spots on this team where we can make a lot of, assumptions and talk about things, but I think it's going to settle back where it was supposed to originally, if that makes sense.
Well, Gentry, welcome back. I've heard comparisons between, the volleyball venue with the Eiffel Tower in the background and St. Thomas Sports Park with the pond over there. Very similar. So welcome back. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
The scent is dirtier, at least.
Well, yeah.
All right, you bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee.
Speaking of dirty water.
Speaking of dirty water.
That's the theme this
love
week.
Love that flowing around. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025 on the Titans. Some people panicking that we didn't talk about the Titans for 30 minutes.
Oh, so sorry.
We'll get back into that coming up next. Make sure you tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Jacksonville. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.